question is, of course, again, why do you go to church? My record is not flawless in terms of church attendance. I was recruited by what was then Sir George Williams University many years ago in 1968. And I came here thinking that it was a sort of freedom from the kind of restrictions of being a minister's son, whose teachers every so often, if I got into trouble, would say, "And you, a minister's son." So I grew up sort of self-conscious about my background, and when I came to Montreal, I sort of felt a sense of freedom, and I didn't go to church. And I didn't go for quite a while. And then two Mennonite couples at McGill tracked me down. Joe Martin was one of them, Joseph Martin. And the second one was, the name escapes me. John Jansen. He was in the anthropology department. Joe Martin was in the medical school. Joe, by the way, just received the honor of the Order of Canada, and he had been dean of the medical school McGill, went to California, was dean there, and then to Harvard, was dean there, and he has a building named after him, so he's really made a name for himself. Anyway, these two families invited me to Martin's home for sort of a social. So at that time, Harold Reeser, which the old-timers remember, was there, and the Martins were there, Tim Martins. And it was sort of a house social kind of thing, which I quite enjoyed. But then the decision was made, I wasn't involved in the decision, but the decision was made to have a kind of formal church, and this building opened up. And the first minister was from the Salvation Army. And I thought, I don't really want a formal church thing to go, let alone have a minister from the Salvation Army. I mean, I don't mean to be judgmental here, but that's sort of how I felt. And so I didn't attend church for quite a few years, actually many years. Until I got married, and that's another story, because I got married very late in life. At the time, in raising a family, we felt it was important to associate with other believers, other people who are friendly to our tradition. And it turned out the group was just wonderful, because it had become much more diverse. There were students here, young families, there were lots of young kids here. And so our kids were brought here, as well as many other families' kids. And I just really enjoyed the fellowship and the messages that were given, because I thought that the people we had were very thoughtful in terms of the messages or sermons, and very supportive. And I like the idea of being open, and I like the idea of the small group, and I like the idea of diversity. So we kept coming, not just for the kids' sake, but for our sake as well, and for my sake too. So I really appreciate what the group has given me, and I'm glad that I was discovered here, because I don't know what would have happened had I continued sort of on my own and trying to shake off being identified as a preacher's son. I have really appreciated the group and the group's support. It was my understanding that I was to choose a favorite scripture passage. Should I continue? And I thought about it quite a while. And of course, the usual passages came to mind, like Psalms 23 and John 3:16, etc. But the one that has really struck me is found in Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians, because it has struck a personal chord with me. Paul directed his letter to the Corinthians. People who lived in Corinth lived in a city that was very urbane and very sophisticated. It was a trading city, a lot of merchants there, scholars were there, etc. And there was intense competition for wealth and social recognition. But there is also social and economic inequality, as I understand it. The passage is as follows. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It does not become proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and always hopes, and always perseveres. That passage to me is always a reminder in our world that seems to relish competition and individual achievement. And, of course, those of us who have been in academia know the kind of striving and certain amount of backbiting that goes on in competition within that setting. And this kind of verse that Paul writes to the urbane people of Corinth always has struck me as necessary to remember that, especially in these days of unrest, of strange figures leading our nations, that we need to look at the core of humanity and express our love, express our concern with them. And by love, I'm talking about respect for individuals and reaching out to individuals behind all of this driving they are pitched into. Even the secular philosopher of the 18th century, Adam Smith, who is sort of the theorist of capitalism, has said that without some kind of controls, the marketplace of society, of capitalism, will be run by what he calls animal spirits. And so even a secular philosopher has pointed out the necessity to pay attention to other people, to respect other people, and indeed, as this passage points out, to love other people.